Well, this morning, I wanted to talk to you. We're going to be in a few different places, but I want you to go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want to share with you, some of you are Facebook junkies, okay? And so you already know some of this info. For those of you that are not on Facebook, we had at one point in our VBS week 31 children. So pretty awesome, right? So exciting, and just had a blast with them. You can tell definitely because there was anointing, because I was like, glory, glory. It was coming down, all right? It's coming down. And so in talking to these kids, we had them memorize scripture. We had them memorize scripture, and one of the scriptures that we memorized, and I'll kind of go through the motions with you so you can see it, and really our heart is that, you know, I was talking with Brian yesterday, and we were talking about missions, and we were talking about the heart of sending our missionaries, right? And I shared with him, I said, when I would go on short-term mission trips, when I would go, I would write everybody a letter, of course, right? And in the letter, I would talk about how God, in the story, there's a story with David where all of his men that he's with, while they're away, these marauders come in and they steal the women and children and all their goods, okay? And so the men come back and they're disheartened and they're, you know, ripping their clothes and mourning and just like, oh man, this is crazy. And David says, let's go get them back. Let's go get our wives and children back. Let's go get our stuff back. Let's go. Well, they had just been battling. Okay, they just did a workout, kind of like up here, okay? They had just been battling. And so some were not able to go. But they said, we can watch what we have here. We'll watch the bags, if you will, of the stuff that we still have remaining, and we'll guard the camp. And then we're going to send you guys out. And so those men were sent out, and they fought valiantly, right? They're all over the place. And they won the women back and the children back, and they won the booty, if you will, if you want to use some gar pirate language, okay? So they won that back. And so, and some extra, okay? And some extra. And so they went out, and they came back, and we're going to be talking about David this morning. We're going to be talking about David. But David and these men come back. And some of the men say, yeah, you can have your wife and kids back, but we're keeping the stuff. Okay? We're the ones that went out there and fought. We're the ones that did all the sword fighting. We're the ones that, you know, hoisted the javelin, if you will. And so we get the stuff. And so David said, no. No, that's not the way it's going to be. That's not the way it's going to be. Those that have stayed with the luggage and those that have went will both get blessed by what God did in this victory that we had today. And I relate that with Vacation Bible School, and I relate that with missions, because I firmly believe that as a church, maybe you couldn't be here and take a week off vacation, but maybe next year you can. Maybe you couldn't take that time to be here every day. Maybe you could only come some days, and then your wife came some days. But you were a part, and our whole church was a part. And I want you to see that all of it was a victory for the Lord. And although you stayed back and held the luggage, you are still a part of changing 31 children's lives. You're still a part of 14 kids coming up to the front and asking Jesus to come into their heart. You're still a part of pouring into their lives for eternity. These kids were coming up and giving us hugs, and I wish that they could give each one of you a hug and show that, you know? Sometimes it's kind of hard, you know, you don't want to be like, Arabella, hug everybody, okay? But, you know, just that genuine, out of just such a joy. One boy just came up to me, he's like, bye, Mario, because that's what they called me, right? Bye, Mario, and then he gave me a big hug, you know? And I am like, I am a pastor, too. He's like, yeah, Pastor Mario, you know? And so So if people come into the church and they start calling me Mario, don't worry about it, okay? It's the heart of the matter, right? It's the heart of the matter. And so you have taken part in that. And you are, if you are part of Mitchell Assembly of God, then you were a part in investing into their lives. What an awesome thing. Because it's pouring into the parents' lives as well. These kids are going to go home and they're going to share about what you're going to hear about today. So I don't want you guys to miss out if you weren't able to be here. I wanted you to get what we taught the children all week long. This is what we did. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, right? We had to get kind of loud and flamboyant, passionate, right? In view of God's mercy, and I talked about it raining down on them, right? And so they're all like, mercy! they're getting into it, right? In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, and then we kind of made it fun, and proper, I think like a, you know, like a homie. What up, man? Proper, you know? And so then we're like, and proper, and they're like, and proper, worship. And we just worship the Lord, worship the Lord. And then we said, this was the first verse that we went over and over and over. In fact, Deshaun, who was dancing up here this morning, he memorized this verse. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, you know, like Transformers, by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that awesome? I mean, the littlest in the group, right? Amen. Memorizing that scripture. To not conform to the pattern of this world. And we talked about that. We didn't just give them a bunch of words and then not talk about it. We talked about it and we broke it down. What does it mean to not conform? We had them use clay and take patterns and what it means to, okay, we're going to push the clay in and now you look like a bear. Push the clay in, now you look like a butterfly. Da, 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 da. You do not have to conform to the pattern of this world. That God has a unique purpose, a unique plan for you, and he wants to mold you and make you. I am the potter and you are the clay, so says the Lord. And that he wants to mold us and make us and transform us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And all the kids did that together. And it was just such an exciting thing. And we didn't give it to them all at once, okay? We gave it to them in pieces. Let them kind of, again, we started with the do not conform and then built it. But by the end, we had kids saying the whole thing. My kids yesterday, they're like, Daddy, Daddy, do not conform. And they came up to me and just wanted to start saying the scripture. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. It's fantastic. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This memory verse carries with it so much content. And again, we watch 3 to 5-year-olds. We watch K through first. We watch 2 through 6th. And all these kids memorizing scripture. All these kids doing such amazing things. And you know, I love God and I love his word. And I love to see it in action. In action in even the smallest and the youngest. His words are life-changing. Amen? Life-changing. So we took these words throughout the week. We broke them down. We also talked about the life of David. We talked about the destiny that was on David's life. You know, when no one else saw it, God saw his destiny. Can you guys say destiny? Destiny. And we explained that. We shared that God has called these young children, that he has a destiny for them. They're not to conform to the pattern of this world again. They're not to be squeezed into the world's mold of pop culture. Their creator, their maker, has a divine destiny for them. A divine destiny for them. And you're not too old to hear that God has a divine destiny for you. An eternal destiny. an eternal destination. Maybe your current reality doesn't look a lot like a beautiful destiny. Maybe it doesn't. David's didn't either, did it? I mean, he was left out to pasture. He was disregarded by the people who should love him most, his parents. His parents. I mean, talk about dysfunction. The prophet of the country came to town. Samuel was an official. He was an important person, not only spiritually, but in the government realm, right? He was almost second to the top dog, if you will. King Saul was at the top. He was the top dog, but yet he was even supposed to take instructions from Samuel, wasn't he? So you think about that. This guy's coming to town. This is no small thing. So he was supposed to take directions from him. An important leader comes to town, and they come, say, to your own home, okay? I'll say it for my home. Now imagine the slap in the face it would have been if George Wood, he's the leader of the Assemblies of God, USA, okay? Millions of people. And he comes to my house, Pastor John, I want to come over and I want to meet your kids. In fact, that's really the only purpose I'm here, is to meet your kids. And so, you know, what do I do, right? What do I do? I have Arabella come out and she does this impromptu song, Jesus, he loves you and he has a plan for you. She just makes up these random songs all the time, okay? And so then she's like, Daddy, I got a new song. I'm like, awesome. Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it. And so she sings an impromptu song, and then I hand Gabby over to George Wood to hold her in his arms. Imagine the slap in the face if I don't have Dylan come out. Don't you have any more children? Yeah, I got one. I mean, his name's Dylan, but he's out in the field. He's doing something. You don't need... It's not worth your time to meet him. Yeah, I got one more. Jesse, he does this to David. His son. So Samuel has to ask, don't you have any more sons? I want you to know that God has not forgot about you. He has not forgot about you. Maybe others have forgot about you. But God doesn't forget about you. Now, he has a purpose, he has a destiny, and he has a plan for you. Day two, we talked about David defeating Goliath. That David took on gigantic odds. That he took on a man that was over 9 feet tall. Okay? Welcome, Goliath. All right. He took on Goliath. Gigantic odds were against him figuratively and physically, right? He's just a boy. And I use this cutout to give them a visual. And I talked about how God took a little stone and we took little pieces of paper and we kind of threw them at Goliath. And all the kids, I mean, they were on a rampage like... It was like Elf on the movie Elf with the snowballs, okay? All right, so the kids were just going at it, all right? But nothing was happening, right? And so what I said to them, I actually took this little cool rocket launcher from Walmart, and I had somebody hold this for me. And what I did was, what God does is he turns our little stones that is really nothing of consequence, and he empowers us, and he uses us so that the whole world would know that he's God. And I took this little rocket launcher and went, and this went. And they loved when the paper waved. They're like, do it again. Okay, so they were just so excited. They were so excited. And I assured that God could take the little that we have, and he can supernaturally provide and make it like a rocket of his power, and do supernatural things. And the same point applies to all of us. You see, sometimes we hear familiar stories like the story of David, and it can become just that, a familiar story. In fact, if we're not careful, we could take a true historical incident and turn it into a fairy tale. This is just styrofoam. This is just a piece of paper with paint on it. But God wants to stir us up on the inside and know and know and know that when we're talking about David and Goliath, we're not talking about a fairy tale. We're not talking about a pie in the sky. We're not talking about something that's just good to tell your little child so they won't be afraid of giants, or they won't be afraid of monsters when they go to sleep, or they won't be afraid of the darkness. I'm not trying to mock, okay? But sometimes we can use Bible stories and we treat them like they're not historical truth, where people started, I'll tell you what, the Philistines ran, and whoever they ran in contact with, this kid, he defeated Goliath. You remember Goliath, don't you? I mean, that guy was gargantuan. He killed so many men. He ripped them apart with their hands. He was huge. He was gargantuan. He indestructible. But yet he said, you know, you come at me with sword and spear. But this little guy, he says, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to cut off your head today so that the world will know that you are God. That God is God. That he is king. That he is Lord. We're talking about, and I know when we talk about David and stuff like that, we have to kind of G-rate it a little bit. I didn't get so much in the head cutting. Okay, I'm not like, this is where we cut his head off. Okay, so we talked about more than knocking down. Okay, so we didn't get too much into that part. But you know, again, these are realities. These are realities of what's going on. And God wants all the world to know that he's the one and true God. It's not so we can just not be afraid. It's, you know, we wrote on cups, what are you afraid of? And they're like, lions. I'm like, that's good, because we really don't have too many lions. I mean, you know, we got some coyotes around here and stuff like that, but we don't have too many lions unless you go to the zoo, right? And they're like, darkness. Well, we do have that. That's a very real fear, isn't it? I mean, some people are still afraid of the dark. Falling down was actually one of the things that they said, you know? I think, you know, in life, adults can be afraid of falling down, you know, like, whoa, and, you know, and so I am right now, just kidding. But you know, so we wrote down those fears, and then we took the little papers and we knocked it down. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It goes beyond God just knocking down our fears. I said, this big thing, Goliath, the story of Goliath is not just about us being able to see our fears being destroyed. It's not just about that. It's a mission statement. David, when he goes out there, he states a mission statement. I will do this so that all the world will know that God is God. He will give me the victory, even over overwhelming odds. I'm not wearing King Saul's armor. I have nothing to protect me. I am completely vulnerable. Completely vulnerable. But God's going to give me the victory because he wants everybody in the world to know him. He wants everybody to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through him. There's only one gate, only one way. And that way is open to everyone. No matter your skin tone, no matter your social status, no matter your occupation, the call is to all. The door is only one. It's inclusive and exclusive at the same time. Jesus calls everybody and he says, go through this spot. He doesn't leave out anybody, but he says, I am the way. I'm the way, the truth. I'm the truth. There is no other except me. The call is to all. The door is only one. At the power-up snack, they took grapes that looked like stones, and Holly illustrated the point again, and they went to the game floor with Corrine, and they had a secret Goliath in the game of dodgeball. So they're throwing these dodgeballs, but if they can hit the secret Goliath, then the whole team is defeated. Isn't that what happened with Goliath? David hit him, and Philistines went a-running, right? And they chased him down, and they had amazing victory. Who knew through dodgeball? Who knew through dodgeball? These kids are learning that. The secret Goliath when they were tagged. And at the App Lab, they went in with Katie, and she talked about how courage, along with God's supernatural strength, shakes things up a bit. So she took, this was outside, she took Diet Coke and shook it up and opened it up. And as you know, you know, and talk about how God shakes things up. He shakes things up in our lives. And when we take our courage, the willingness to step out, and the ability for him to shake it up, God does supernatural, awesome things in our lives. And I want you guys to see this, that all of us were teachers. All of us were teachers. From the leaders that brought them to the places and re-emphasized the memory verse, talked about what we're learning today, gave them hugs. We're like moms, little moms and dads to them and whatnot. And then to the teachers that taught at the game floor, to the power up, right? To the App Lab. Everybody was reinforcing every day what was going on. You know, some people do this best learning, okay? But with kids, you got to be creative, right? So sitting down like this, you may take it in. But really, you may learn best like this. You may learn best like this. You know? You may learn best like this. That's how I learned. No, just joking. But, you know, taking in, take and eat and taste that the Lord is good, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? And so we got to do that every day. Every day. God wants to shake things up in our lives, doesn't he? He wants to shake things up. We want to keep it. I'll keep that soda. Make sure we don't lose the carbonation. We need every part of it. It's going to go flat in a few days, but don't shake it. Right? But God wants to shake things up a bit in our lives. Faith takes risk. Can you guys say faith? Faith. Faith takes risk. Faith takes fully relying on God, right? A little acronym, FROG. Ribbit, ribbit, okay? Kermit the Frog reporting live, right? FROG, fully relying on God. It takes faith, fully relying on him. It takes risk. We challenge the children to have courage and allow God to use them to change the world for him. Day three, the third level was about not cheating. See, we were in this whole game on, and there was little videos playing, and one of the videos was about, if you've ever played video games before, you can go in different magazines and you can get cheat codes, right? You can put in the cheat code, A, double, double, A, B, 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 A. Now I have unlimited, military capability, or now I've found the secret spot, and so I can go, and now I'm on the last lap, and I beat everybody, or now I can advance to the next part of the game. And we took that example, and we talked about a big word. We talked about integrity. Integrity. And we taught about David in 1 Samuel 26. David in 1 Samuel 26, 21 to 25. He comes upon Saul and he's sleeping. And David has the opportunity to take his crown. And with one foul swoop, Abishai could take Saul out. We had these big pool noodles, okay? And we had the kids come up and lay on the platform and blankets and pillows. And one was King Saul and one was Abner. And then we had all the rest of the kids play out the army. And David and Abishai come at night. And it says that God put a deep sleep on them. So as they were walking, nobody would wake up. Abner was sleeping right next to King Saul. And Abishai, David's man, took up King Saul's spear and he said, I only have to strike once. David, you don't have to run anymore. David, you don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to live like this, David. Take the shortcut. Take the quick answer. Take what is the easiest path. Don't be a fool. Look, God has even done it. They're sleeping. I only have to strike once. He won't even make a sound. And then all of your troubles are over. How many times does that happen in our lives where people are like, come on, just take the easy way? I mean, you remember when you're a kid? Come on, just cheat. Come on, just give me your paper. You give me mine. And come on, we'll just do this. How about Enron scandal? How about scandal after scandal after scandal in the United States? How about the housing collapse? Free money, free money. I know you can't pay for this house, but here's some free money. Oh, our whole economy went like this? How'd that happen? A lack of integrity. That they took the quick way out. They took the shortcut so they could make the quick money. They could do the quick deal. I didn't talk about Enron with the kids, okay, just so you know. Like, all right, let's explain Enron. Can everybody say that? Enron! No, we didn't talk about that. But we talked about no cheating and how that a lot of times when God's destiny and what he wants to do in your life, it takes time to cultivate. It takes time to allow our character to be formed, right? Because we're learning even in Sunday school in Mark Batterson's Circle Maker that God cares more about who you are becoming than even what you're doing right now, what you're doing at your occupation. I think I shared this before, but when I was in the waiting period and we were waiting for Mitchell Assembly, we're at an incredible church. It was an awesome church, but you know what? I had to provide for my family. And so I sold furniture. It felt so weird being introduced in a 1,500 member church as, this is John Potter, he sells furniture. Is that who I am? I mean, is that, if you were to sum me up, you're like, I'd use other words. No, just kidding. But is that how I would be summed up? My whole character, my whole identity in, he sells pieces of wood furniture? I mean, so many times when we're first meeting people, so what do? I'm awesome. How about you? Okay. I sell stocks and bonds and you fix things. Okay, whatever. Don't we do that? I mean, it's like we're still in high school. Oh, my job's so much better than yours. But we equate our identity with our occupation. We equate our identity with what we do, how we sell, how we exchange money. Is that your identity? No way. No way. I'm not represented by John Potter, the salesman at Ashley Furniture. I'm in Christ. He's made me a new creation. The old is gone. The dead has gone. The new has come. He's used my life. I've seen miraculous things. He's done supernatural things that I could tell about and make people's hair curl. You know what I mean? Like, God has done awesome things in your life. Don't equate your identity with what you do. God is more important, and your identity is more important than your occupation. Your occupation is what you do. Your identity is who you are. Who you are. See, when we come here to church, we're growing in our character. It's called, I would go to this internship in Teen Mania Ministries, and we had a class called Character Development Class. And in a way, church is like that. Character Development Class. Leadership Class. How are you then going to take these principles and apply them to your life and be an influencer in your community, in your occupation, where you go? And then in the character development sense, who are you becoming? Because in the long run, I'm not going to be able to do this all the time. I'm not going to be able to do this all the time. At some point, this is going to stop. But this will remain. Who I am is going to remain. It's an eternal thing. And so we didn't dive that deep in that aspect, but we talked about integrity and no cheating. We talked about white lies and how there is no white lie. And I know maybe some of you, if you were ultra honest with me, you could debate that with me. But I will tell you this. It doesn't mean you always are like, hey, you got lettuce on your cheek. You should be really embarrassed right now. Okay, there is time, there is tact, and we need to know how to share things at the right moment. Okay, I know people that like to talk a mile a minute, and they say things that shouldn't come out of their mouth, okay? There is restraint. There is timing. Like we learn in Proverbs, like gold in settings of silver is a word aptly given at the right moment, right? So it doesn't mean we just go around saying anything we want. Hey, I didn't want to give him a white lie, right? But again, when we're talking about integrity and doing the right thing and not deceiving others, for our own gain, it's a challenge. It's a challenge in our lives not to take the easy road, not to go that way. And so what I did with the kids was I was talking about opportunities, and they were kind of like, I had balloons up here on these different color mats here. And so with these, we had them up, and we had balloons on them. And so we had it here, and we had some balloons hanging on top. And I took some scissors, and I said, you know what? When we cheat, when we try to do something underhanded, when we try to take the easy way out, we pop. And they're like, oh! every group. One kid's like, why'd you do that? Like, the kids just love balloons, right? It's like they have, I mean, balloons is right up there with candy. Candy's here, balloons are here, okay? And so when we pop the balloon, like, what? You know, and I had to explain to them that those balloons represent opportunities in your life for you to do things for God. But when you take the shortcut, you could pop those opportunities just to make them, bring them back in. Maybe they're like, dee, 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 I'm going to play with the rug. I'm going to look at the chair. Pop! What? At Teen Mania, we used to use pyrotechnics, so we'd start blowing things up. And teenagers, you know, they move on from balloons to things that explode. So, you know, so we had pyrotechnics that would flare in the middle of us talking. I'm going to leave that there because I am going to talk about that. So I'm not just placing that there as a distraction for you, okay? And so, again, we popped it. And I want you to remember, God is more interested, and I'll say this over and over again, in who you are and who you're becoming than just in what you're doing. So day one, we talked about destiny. And day two, we talked about defeating the boss. Defeating the boss. Defeating Goliath. Day three, we talked about no cheating. And day four, we spoke about giving God the controller. And it was video game controller, not this controller, okay? I know it's harder for some men to give this up than this, but some men still this, all right? It's hard to give up, okay? And we shared about David and where the Ark of the Lord is coming back. David has now become anointed king. He's stepping into his role, right? And the Ark had been taken, and so the Lord was bringing back the Ark with him. Remember when he did it wrong? Somebody touched it and they died because it was handled wrong? Instead of handling it like God had them handle it and in a sanctified way, in a way that God would have, that handled it sloppy. Oh, well, it's just God, whatever. You know, it's just God, whatever. Do I really have to act like this? Do I really have to do this? I mean, come on, whatever. Somebody reached out, and they were dead. So David said, hold this plan. We're not moving any longer. Put it at this guy's house. Well, that guy got so blessed. I was like, blessing, blessing. But David's like, I got to get a hold of that thing. And it wasn't for blessing alone. It's because he wanted to bring the Ark of God back to Judah, right? And so David is bringing the Ark of God. He's doing it God's way. And as the Ark is coming in, David just starts dancing before the Lord. And he's wearing an ephod, okay? He's not wearing boxers. He's not, please, if that ever came across to you in a sermon. Please don't think that. Okay, he was still wearing some good, solid clothes, okay? But what Michal got upset about and she got offended about was that David threw off his royal robe and just began worshiping God with reckless abandon. He just started worshiping God. He said, I don't care who's watching. I just love God. And I'm so excited his ark is coming back. You know, inside that ark, there was this staff that budded flowers. I mean, there's no dirt. There was no time to wait for a flower. You ever been in those science classes? Raise your hand if you have and you watched like a flower grow in fast time. Ever watch that? Okay. So a couple of us. And you're like, day one to day like 20, right? And you're like, there's the bud, boop, right? I mean, Aaron's staff, it budded out of nowhere. And not to go crazy, but here, Aaron, the way that happened was a plague was coming upon the people, and Aaron took his staff and went boom, and the plague stopped right there and didn't go any farther, and the staff budded. I mean, it was like fireworks. Before China invented them, okay? And they took the staff and they put that in there. And the Ten Commandments coming down from the mountain. Moses is shining like a light bulb. And the Ten Commandments are in there, right? So you got all this sacred stuff in the box. But most of all, you just have Jesus. You just have God. And he's celebrating God with reckless abandon. And we talked to the kids about not caring what your peers think. Not caring what others think. So many adults still deal with fear of man. Just thinking about that, you're like, whoa, yeah. Fear of man. What will others think of me? We're so worried about our boss's opinion, our peers' opinion, that we allow those fears to sway us from worshiping God with intensity. Maybe even in the worship service. Maybe you don't want to look silly. Oh, if I throw up my hands like this, or I get really excited for God, or I jump up and down, not everybody's doing that. You know, that's why we a lot of times dim the lights in here. It's because we don't want somebody else distracting you from worshiping God in an awesome way. Now, awesome can be just quiet like this too. And God's doing all kinds of things inside of you. My dad used to say, you know, he'd have people that like, amen, shaking their heads, smiling, and they're thinking, ah, man, I'm going to roast that pastor after service. Yeah, man, he's horrible. Amen, amen. You know, and then you had people like this the whole time they were speaking. And God was working on them on the inside and transforming them and doing a work, and God was just stirring up stuff on the inside of them. You know, somebody may look like this on the outside. Now, we're still showing body language, okay? This body language just says, I'm closed off, okay? So it does say that, but God could be doing such an awesome work inside of us. And so we can't judge by the outward appearance. We talked to the kids about that too in day one, that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That God doesn't look at this stuff. This is so peripheral. This is so trite and trivial, but he looks at the heart. And I'll tell you, you know, David danced before the Lord, and King Saul's daughter, Michal, who was his wife, was frustrated and angry at him. Why do we cater to people's offenses rather than cater to God's call? Why do people's little things and little quirks allow us to be so moved? Why are we not instead moved by the Lord? Now, obviously, I want the cross to be the only offense when people come in these doors. But at the same time, you know, not every offense is equal. Not every little perturbed annoyance about this or that is equal. And we can't allow those things to sway us. I struggle with fear of man, I'll tell you that. That animal is a lot smaller than it used to be. It used to be my biggest struggle. And about 18 years ago, I was so governed by what people thought, by what they thought, it was like a lion in my life, like a lion. I would be petrified by this fear of man. Well, now it's kind of like a poodle, okay? Sometimes it nips at my legs, okay? And if I give it room, it can influence me to not go down a road, all right? Maybe that thing has rabies. You never know, okay? That poodle could have some stinking rabies, all right? I'm not going to let it bite me. But so those things flare up, right, from time to time. But I will not tell you it's because I got older. It's because I had an encounter with Jesus in an amazing way. And he said, I am the Lion of Judah. I am the one that you should reverence and respect, but I love you so stinking much. I have such an awesome plan for you. And if you would care more about what I think than what your so-called friends think, I will change your world. And I will make you an influencer. I will change how you view everybody. And he did. And he did. Again, that poodle's still there, and I still struggle with fear of man. But I say, God, I'm surrendering it to you. I'm laying it down at the altar. What do you struggle with? What do you struggle with? What fears in your life allow you and manipulate you to go down a road that you shouldn't go? Who and what are those? When we give God the controller, when we give him the you know, Jesus take the wheel, you name it, okay? I remember the first time that I really worshiped the Lord with reckless abandon. Tears just flowed down my cheeks, but laughter just came on the inside and stirred me, and I just poured it out, and it was just like I didn't care who was around me. I mean, I was thinking in the back of my head, who's looking at me? Who's looking at me? And I was responding even in those thoughts, who cares? Who cares? Because God was doing an operation on me. I wanted to leap for joy. I wanted to dance. I was free, and it was unlike anything I had ever experienced. You see, Christianity is only hype when we go someplace and we're like, yeah! All right, whatever. Some of us are not emotional people, and that is okay. It's okay. You know, Christianity isn't about, all right, let's just sing about how Jesus is, we're a bride, I'm a bride, I'm a bride. I'm a guy, okay? I just want to say that. I'm not a bride, okay? But yet, we are the bride of Christ. I get that theology. I get that. But at the same time, too, we can make Christianity very girly and very emotional driven. And so I don't want to swing that way. I don't want to go in that huge direction of let's all just be emotional. It's not about emotional. It's about God taking your heart, opening it up, changing you on the inside, making you a new person. I may have shared this before, but George Wood shared this at a pastor's district council. And he talked about a man that was working at a factory, and he was a cusser, and he was going out and drinking all the time. He would take his paycheck, and he's like, paycheck time, time for the booze. And he'd take all of his paycheck, and he'd pour it out on alcohol. He'd do that all the time. And his wife, she got saved. And she's praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And finally, he gets to church, and he doesn't just go through the motions. He opens up his heart for the first time ever, and God explodes in his life. He becomes a new person. He's not cussing like he was before. He's not telling dirty jokes like he was before. He's not living like he was before. And the guys begin to mock him. Oh, you're so goody two-shoes. Oh, you're so this. Oh, you're so that. I can't believe that. Do you really believe that Jesus turned water into wine? His response was this. Well, I'll tell you what. I do believe he turned water into wine because he turned beer into furniture. He turned beer into furniture. Because no longer was the man at the bars just dropping all his money there. He was spending it on his family. No longer was he spending it on this and that and the other thing that led down dark and dirty and wrong roads that would plague his life. But he was investing into the kingdom of God. He was investing into his family, and God turned beer into furniture. So he believed God turned water into wine because he turned beer into furniture. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. When God grabs a hold of your life, it's not a let's frolic like a ballerina. It's let's get in here and allow God to rip this up and change this and do this. I bet Michal had a lot of sway on David in the past. He was King Saul's daughter. He loved her. And he worked and went out and slayed Philistines like crazy to get her. He loved her. But she also was a carbon copy of her dad, if you will. I'm taking a little nuance here, a little bit of a, but I bet King Saul acted the same way. Very proper. Everybody, you know, I want them to think good of me. Why didn't Saul wait? Because he felt like, there's these guys waiting for me. They're asking me for me to lead. Why am I not leading? I'm going to burn the sacrifice right now. Samuel comes in a little later. Why didn't you wait for me? He said to him, he said at one point, King Saul, Samuel told him, don't go out. When you go out, I want you to kill everything. Don't keep the livestock. Don't keep this. Don't keep that. Slay everything. Get rid of everything. Purge everything. And Samuel comes in and he says, what is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this bleating of sheep in my ears? Well, I did what you said. I did what you said, but, you know, the guys wanted to keep some. You know, I mean, you know, they worked hard. What is this bleating of sheep in my ears? Do you care more about what man thinks of you than what God thinks of you? Do you care more about how you look, your reputation, than you do about your reputation in view of God? All of us fight that battle where we sometimes make the choice to care more about what that person thinks than what God thinks. And it came to a point where David says, no more, no more. I'm not going to have it anymore. And so he pulls off his royal robe and he goes and just dances before the Lord in an awesome way. And day five, we talked about how David said, God, I want to build you a house. You're so awesome. I want to build you a house. And God flips it around. He says, David, I'm going to build you a house. And it's going to be an eternal house. It's going to be a forever house. In fact, your house, your lineage, your people, Jesus is going to come through. And he's going to save the world. And I'm going to use you. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom will be a forever kingdom, David. Just like David, he would come from humble beginnings. Just like David, we reminded the kids that Jesus was born in a manger, in a stable, long ago on Christmas Day, right? And we talked about Jesus being in a manger, in that stable, and that just off on the hill were shepherds. And, you know, it's kind of presumed, but David may have been taking care of the sheep in the same place that the shepherds heard the angels say, the Son of God has come into the world. What an awesome, awesome thing. You see, I explained these colors to the kids, and this is what we're going to do at Dakota Fest. It's very simple, but we said, green is for growth. God made this world beautiful, but yet we darkened it. We chose our own way. We chose to rebel. We chose, I used, I'll show you here, just because I tend to, kids tend to be pretty visual, so excuse me, Goliath, all right. We chose this question mark. Oh, I wonder what happens when I'll press this. I wonder what happens when I eat this. I wonder what will happen when I touch the question mark and I press it in. Right? Haven't we all done that? We've all pressed the question mark. We've all gone over the line of sin. And so darkness came into the world, but Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. He was the perfect sacrifice. We're talking about living as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We're just following Jesus. He died for us, and he died for us to make us whole. He died for us to make us clean, so we could be like the pure snow, like those snow cones that we ate there. Woo-hoo! They were pretty good, by the way, all right? Your mouth is watering, I know, even at this moment, right? And so we, just like the pure snow, he made us pure. And so when we go to heaven, we can be with him on those golden streets, that we can be with him where there is no sun, because he is the light that lights all. No more tears, no more pain, no more fears. He's taken us to that place. My challenge to you is the same challenge that I laid before simple children. Simple children. Do you know that God has a destiny and a plan for you? That he has a purpose for you? That he loves you? That he wants to transform your life and make it new? Would you bow your heads with me? Maybe you're sitting here and you heard this message that we shared at Vacation Bible School, and God's stirring you on the inside. I have a twofold call. One is for salvation, and the other is for fear of man. Maybe you're that one that you've cared more about what other people think than what God thinks. If that's you, I ask you to slip up your hand, and I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And secondly, I see those hands. And secondly, if you want to ask Jesus to come inside your heart, to say, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my God. But don't let that fear of man call and claiming what that is and saying, I don't want to be like that anymore. Don't let that pass by. If that's you, slip up your hand. If you've already slipped up your hand, I'll pray with you. But maybe you just need to say, God, I'm tired of worrying about what other people think about me. I give you that. I see that hand. Thank you. See that hand. Lord Jesus, we just pray even right now, Lord God, we pray that you would do a transformation inside of our hearts. We pray, Lord God, that you would make that lion into a little poodle, that you would take that thing, that fear of man, and that you would break it on the inside of us. But Jesus, we know that we need you as Savior and God to do that. So we put you on the throne. We put you on the throne of our lives and say, Jesus, you be my King. You be my God. You be the leader of my life. Jesus, I know that you are the only way, the truth, and the life. I know that you were sinless, that you are truly God, that you are truly God. God, take over my life. Transform me by the power of Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it starts here, and it starts with a prayer, and then it builds, and it builds, and it builds. And that's how our lives are like. That's what this life of following Jesus is about. So I just pray over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you as you go forth in his name. In Jesus' name, amen.